Halo start. We'll have a big Halo start to the podcast.
Oh. Come on. Yeah, mine's just going to be. Oh.
One note. Sorry, boys. I was trying, but I just can't sing. Wake up!
You want
other words to that, like wake up, something, make up, something. I don't know, it's just gone, isn't it? Yeah.
Why'd you put the kids?
Why'd you put the kids up on the table? Huh? I want you to! You are! I wanted to!
Followed by Pink Floyd. If you can't eat your meat, how can you have any pudding?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You are listening to episode 73 of Sappening Podcast with my absolutely fantastic self, Sean Smith, and my fair to moderate friend, Morgan Richards, also known as Mo Dick.
Wow, that was a bit bleak, but yes, it is me, Morgan Richards. This is episode 73, or what I feel like will be the ultimate frat party experience.
You said ultimate for a start. You've added an ENT into ultimate.
It's going to be that good, Sean, that I need to add extra letters so just so the listeners can understand how awesome this episode is going to be.
It was a fantastic chat to a lovely, lovely fella. And I had a great time. And the craziest thing about it, to me, is that we did it in Merthyr Tydfil, where I'm from, which Hollywood actors I don't think should be allowed to, but Thomas Ian Nicholas has been to Merthyr up to eight times. Eight times, mind.
It's one of his favourite places, apparently.
Yeah, which means he's definitely done something wrong in a past life.
Wow. Okay, but yeah, as you mentioned, our guest this week is American movie star, feel-good musician, and overall lovely human, Thomas Ian Nicholas.
What a chap, lovely.
As you mentioned, we recorded this a few weeks back, live in person in Sean's hometown of Merthyr Tydfil, while Tom was over on his UK tour. But just a quick mention, if you don't somehow unaware of Tom and his work, he has starred in numerous cult classic pictures, such as the American Pie franchise as Kevin,
woo!
Rookie of the Year, The Lost Tree, nice. And my personal favourite film I've ever seen him in, Walt Before Mickey. He's been a renowned musician and toured all across the States, the UK, Europe, and everything else in between, releasing music under his full name and as Thomas Nicholas Band. And he's joining us on this for a lovely, just feel-good conversation about his life, the music industry, the film biz, mad shenanigans, comic cons, and everything in between.
What else do we talk about? Yeah, loads of stuff. He was fantastic. He was really open. He told me due to the blackout, which blew my mind.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of connections with people like in our scene. So for example, a lot of his music, he's worked with a friend of the podcast in Matthew Kennedy of the Dangerous Summer.
Yes,
he brings up our episode with them because he gets mentioned. So there's a bit of not backlash, but return from that.
Oh, yeah, go on. Sorry, man. I was doing like rap ad libs in the background. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, go on.
And he talks about going to things like Comic-Con, the experience of that. But also, Sean,
yes,
what you must remember is while we've done these podcasts in the past, sometimes we get interrupted by things. You know, we've had the family members, other band members, other people from other bands, TMs, texts, and all that. They kind of like to get their two cents in, don't they? They try to come.
Yes.
This episode features the weirdest interruption we've ever had, but it's hysterical.
Yes, and I remember now. Yes. yeah, nobody was expecting that. Also, again, thank you very much to the new Crown Inn for hosting us and having us there. It was very, very nice of him. Thomas played a fantastic gig where he was a good laugh, and I'm very, very glad he made it out of Merthyr Tydfil before the lockdown. So again, congratulations to Thomas, Ian, Nicholas for getting out. I wish you'd taken me with you.
And I'm very excited to have him on because me and Tom do have a past. We've done a lot of interviews and stuff in my previous life as a radio presenter.
What? You've died and come back?
No, but I'd like to think it's a like different reincarnation, but after dying.
Oh, you've got mad, man. You've gone mad.
We're in isolation, Sean. I haven't seen you in weeks, and I'm trying to like put on a brave face. But yes. He's going to talk to us all about his new music as well. He's got a brand new single out now titled I Want, and he's releasing all this through Patreon and letting fans really interact so he can make more music, more singles, and hopefully a new album. So that's patreon.com/TIN band, Tin Band. Check that out. And we also get exclusive news on his new film, Adverse, that is in post-production and features Mickey Rourke.
Yes. American madman Mickey Rourke. If you're heading over to Thomas Ian Nicholas's Patreon, why not think about checking out our Patreon? Go to patreon.com/sapnin, that's S-A-P-P-E-N-I-N, to choose from a range of different tiers to show your support to our podcast.
Yes, and everything, if you sign up to any of the tiers, gets you into our fantastic community group. You get to interact with a host of fellow listeners, and they are just the most kind souls in the universe. I love them all, and you will too. You're making new best friends, and there's awesome, crazy goods on there you can get, from voice and video messages from Sean and I, to Skype calls, to letters, to even having us move in with you. Probably not the best in these conditions, still consider it.
We haven't. We'd have to take that down. We'd have to take that option down. What happens if somebody goes, oh, yeah, I'll have her, and pays the 50 grand, and then we can't get to them, so they're like, whoa, I've paid you. And we're like, oh, but we can't. Anyway, don't choose that tier, but do check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin.
And while you're checking things out, make sure to have a look at our social media pages at sapninpod on Twitter and Instagram. Sean, how'd you spell it?
I don't know. You tell me.
All right, it's that weird A that's an at thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, then it's S-A-P-P-E-N-I-N-P-O-D.
Hey!
Yeah, finally. I've learned to spell in quarantine.
Well, you'd think from editing all these episodes and me repeating it constantly, you'd think you'd just pick it up like it was some sort of song now.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing I can spell. I can't really spell anything else. But so at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram, I can spell. That's at S-A-P-P-E-N-I-N-P-O-D.
Yeah, twice in a row. Attaboy.
But Sean, while we're like saying thanks to people, you know, via our Patreon and Tom for coming on the podcast and stuff, we should say a special thank you or a shout out to the lovely people at Kerrang Magazine.
Oh, yes. Wednesday, they released an article on Kerrang.com of 12 podcasts to check out by musicians. And very, very kindly, they've added us in. So thank you very much to Kerrang Magazine. That's very, very kind of you. That's awesome, awesome. We appreciate the support.
I didn't even know they realised I play guitar.
Have they written that in there?
They said, with journalist Morgan Richards, but they haven't said awesome guitarist / awesome guitarist either.
Oh, I thought you said they mentioned your guitar in. I was like, why would they? You're a,
No. It was a joke. It was.
It was one of them jokes, was it?
It was one of them jokes. I've heard you.
Morgan, listen. Well, this is what I'm about to say. Leave him to the professionals, right? And don't ever do that ever again.
Okay, I'm very, very sorry. To make it up to you, though, shall we just go straight into this episode now with the wonderful Thomas Ian Nicholas?
Please, God.
Cool. Well, this is Tom going to tell you all about the mad movie, film, life, music, being a father.
Industry, business.
Just that. Yeah, go. Let's go.
Now, Sapnin.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You weren't recording during all of that amazing intro stuff?
Oh, no, it was.
He's terrible.
Oh, okay, good. It just stopped and started again, so there's a brand new file.
Okay. And so do you need to stop and start again now, so it's a brand new file?
Well, no, let's just go with it.
Oh, we're in now. This is the beginning.
This is...
We've begun.
We've started now.
This is it.
Is it?
Sapnin!
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 Yes! Perfect.
Nice.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how... wrong people sometimes
get that. Yeah, people get confused.
But you've done well there.
Yeah, but confused. I've already listened to your podcast before.
Yeah. That is true. So, thank you very much.
I've got to step up.
That is true.
I've got the inside scoop.
Oh, he's prepared.
I mean, it's mainly because you talked about me.
We did talk
about you. So that's how you got my attention.
It was all positive, though. We didn't say anything bad. It was all positive.
I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah. You had me racking my brain. I was like, wait. Yeah, it was all positive, wasn't it? And for a second, I was like, we didn't say anything bad, did we?
No,
what have you said?
I was just making sure.
Anyway.
I mean, it was mainly Matt and AJ that talked about me.
From the Danger Summer.
And Ben just said, yeah.
He'll do that. But this week's guest is the fantastic Thomas Nicholas. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
We
originally planned on maybe something earlier, and then I said, 7, and then sound check was late. Oh, maybe 7:30, and then I got to eat breakfast.
You did?
This is all PM, by the way.
Breakfast at 8 p.m.
Yeah, breakfast at 8 p.m.
It's a song title.
And I was ready to eat and do the podcast at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you graciously let me eat, so thank you.
No, we didn't want you to just rush in just for us. You know, we didn't want to get cold either. So
yeah, that's true. And absolutely sorry that you have to be a Merthyr Tydfil.
You know, I don't understand what this reputation is about Merthyr. I love Merthyr.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, I've played. This is probably my eighth show here. But everyone in Swansea yesterday said, "Oh, where are you playing next?"
Ooh.
I said Merthyr. They go, "Oh, good God, be careful!"
Yeah, I know. I
be
live here.
Careful up there, and they genuinely meant it.
Yeah, I have. I got 36 years in this fucking hellhole, and
I don't think you've ever said a nice word about Merthyr. To be
it's
honest,
it's hard to. It's very difficult to say a nice
but
word.
But what do you
Merthyr.
Dislike more, Merthyr or Cardiff?
Oh,
Merthyr.
Yeah. Well, that's because you live here.
Yeah, it's still Merthyr. Yeah, it's because I know the majority of people from Merthyr as well, I think.
Well, everyone in Swansea pretty much equally hated Cardiff and Merthyr.
So.
Swansea and Cardiff are always going to have that rivalry.
Well, that's because of the football, yeah?
Yeah.
Mainly,
and they're both kind of major cities. Whereas Merthyr has no right in that argument whatsoever. Just... turning up going, all right, no, all right, we're fine. You made your cities, it's fine. But we're at the Crown in Merthyr Tydfil at the moment.
The new Crown Inn.
The new Crown Inn, not the old Crown Inn.
It's completely changed.
It actually is really new because I haven't been here in about 4 years, and there's a lot of upgrades that have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in a very nice room backstage, if we can say backstage. I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we're in the backstage. Yeah. This is the green room, so to speak.
Nice.
Not the champagne room.
No. No.
Especially with that camera up
that's
there
next
in the corner.
Door.
Yeah, we've got a... Yeah, that's the... Right, so let's explain the situation. We've come backstage, and there's a room, there's two settees, a long table.
Two what?
Settees or couches. Sorry.
What the? A settee?
A settee.
Is that like related to a Yeti?
Yeah, it's a dead just, one.
You it's a sit dead on. Yeti. Okay.
Yeah, if they're big enough, you could sit on a dead Yeti. Wow.
We're going back to some medieval times now. The original couches were dead Yetis. Perfect.
You come to Merthyr, you're going to get the original stuff. Yeah, so there's a bed in the room for some reason.
There's loads of pillows.
Loads of pillows, loads obviously. Of pillows.
Well, this is where I actually, I didn't know it looked this nice. I was offered to stay here versus the hotel.
Oh, and you were like, nah, hotel.
I was like, hotel. And then I got here and I was like, oh, well, this is quite nice. Quite cozier than the hotel.
But then
I should have chosen this.
The scary camera in the corner of the room, which...
You know, the difference is I won't have, if I stayed here, I won't have housekeeping knocking on my door at 10 in the morning.
That's true as well.
You might have videos, infrared videos of you sleeping in the nip, being naked in this room. Is that something you'd like? Because I don't think...
No. I've tried to steer away from Big Brother.
Yeah, fair enough. Funnily enough, I tried to go on Big Brother once, the TV show.
You actually, you volunteered to actually do that.
They got in touch with me.
Okay, and so then, you didn't start the conversation.
No,
they got in touch with me.
And I was like, yeah, I'd have a go at that.
I love the high voice though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could do that.
Yeah, I'd have a go. I had a whole plan as well about escaping and then filming the escape, selling it back to the people, Endemol, the company that does Big Brother. But I turned it down because my band, The Blackout, were on tour in Australia. I thought, do you know what? I'll stay in the band. I'll keep doing the band for the sake of all of us. And then years later, they went and left me.
How Machiavellian of you and not of them.
Yeah, shitheads. And then, so I didn't go on Big Brother.
No. And now we're here.
So it's all worked out in the end.
But that's what's happening.
Yes. He's in, you're out.
Yeah. What? That's very harsh.
That's really not fair because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Morgan. We've done a load of interviews together.
Thanks, Tom.
Fuck,
see, I don't get any nice mentions on this.
We've done interviews in like really sketchy parts of Wales. I don't even remember where.
Yeah, we've done
some industrial district somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember where that was, but we thought we were all going to die on the way there.
but you didn't, and I appreciate all the times you did visit that wonderful industrial estate to have
Radio Cardiff, was it?
Yes.
Oh, I know what you mean now.
Yeah.
I thought the pikeys were going to come out of the fucking...
You could be murdered at any moment.
Yeah. But how many interviews have we done, Morgan? Oof. This must be like at least the fifth.
Yeah, I think fifth or sixth maybe. Yeah. We've done quite a few over the years. So it's a pleasure to have you on this.
So I'm out there. Fucking...
Oh,
we
can all,
listen,
we can all
I'm
just
not
talk
the Blackout
together.
Or Big Brother. You can stay in. I'm just the guest.
But yes, it's a pleasure to have you on this, Tom. So
glad
to be
here.
Thank you for taking time. Obviously, you're in the UK now supporting a brand new single.
And I am.
Getting ready for the new record. How's everything been going so far?
It's been going well. The new single's called I Want. It dropped on Valentine's Day. Matt Kennedy, who you know from The Dangerous Summer Now, since they stole him from me in 2012. And Matt's original bass player from The Graduate, Jared. Mm-hmm. And our other friend, Johnny Lucas, who's from Warrington, that we met on tour over here in the UK. We all wrote the song together, and Johnny Lucas is producing it. And something kind of different.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it still has the same vibe because no matter what I do, it always sounds like the 90s. Like, just whatever I do. But the best part is when I first started the band, it was like, oh, you sound so 90s. And then I did it long enough, and then it was like, you sound so 90s. And now it's just like, all right, that sounds 90s. So it's kind of gone from like unacceptable to acceptable to it just is what it is. It's it's just what's at
least,
happening.
At least you're seeing it come and go, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's just a trend, isn't it? But no, it's sounding really good. So I'm just guessing you've got all the rest of the record is all done and dusted
no,
now.
No,
no,
oh,
no, not at all.
That's the best reaction. Laughing and saying so, no, God, so, no. I haven't dropped a record.
It's been a couple of years now since.
Well, so the last original record was Security in 2015, which is around the last time that we were on tour cycle over here. We pushed a few songs off of that record pretty hard in the UK. I think it was the only place we got radio play. like ever, which is why I love the UK. And so, what is it? And then Frat Party came out, but that was all our favorite songs from the American Pie soundtrack. We were doing university tours, which were loads of fun, and then they didn't want us anymore. I don't know why, but it just, you know,
awful.
Sometimes you get like the greatest opportunity of your life twice.
Yeah.
You just don't get the third time.
Oh.
But it was the inception of the record, so I have the UK and the university tours to thank for it. And so I just have been like kind of writing on the side and then kind of compiling all my songs and thinking like, okay, what am I going to do next? What sound is it going to be? What direction am I going? And I was on tour with Matt and Jared and the original drummer from the Dangerous Summer, Tim Moore. And so it was kind of like the graduate and me as TNB. And Matt and Jared had just written this song. So they played the track in the van like all the time. We were on like a five, seven day run in Chicago, Illinois area. And I was like, you guys got to let me write to this song. Like I love this song. It just was a good groove.
Yeah.
And they agreed to send it to me. I wrote something and then they didn't tell me what they thought for like 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so can we record it? Is it cool? Do you like it? Do you guys hate it? He's like, well, Johnny has some notes. Call Johnny. So I called Johnny. Texted Johnny. I was like, man, does he really not like it that much? Have I destroyed this track? So finally around Christmas we talked and he was like, no, I love it, it's great, let's let, and we made a plan for doing singles because, you know, right, the albums are dead.
Yeah
so
that's what we're looking at. Yeah,
right. I don't really think that because I don't write albums to sell albums. I write albums to do tours, so you can't really, well, although I am touring off of singles. But I'm playing a lot of old material to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think you can tour off of a new album. I mean, look, The Dangerous Summer still does albums.
Yeah.
Lots of bands still do albums. But, you know, I just was like, well, screw it. Let's just go forward. We'll do this one. I was like, yeah, we're going to do a song every month. That's a lot of work when you don't have a label.
Yeah.
It's
a
lot of work. Because first of all, I use TuneCore to like put my music up, which I don't really like them that much anymore, but that's a whole other story. But I use TuneCore, and you have to pick a date 4 weeks out. So in order for me to do a song a month,
you've got to be a month ahead.
Promoting one while I'm releasing the other, essentially. And I don't have the bandwidth for that. I can't do it. So
especially when you're a busy man on the side and a father and everything like that as well. I mean,
right. Well, I have my new film to really focus on as well. So we got our first critics reviews. We did our world premiere in Portugal.
Nice.
At this festival called Fantas Porto. It was their 40th anniversary. They've apparently had like Scorsese premiered Raging Bull there. Ridley Scott premiered Blade Runner there.
No pressure.
You know, like Bong Joon-ho premiered The Host there, and then, you know, is now an Oscar winner. Coen Brothers premiered No Country for Old Men there and then went on to win 4 Oscars. So they chose us as the opening night film, which is apparently like the highest honor you can have. And then the critics said it's a modern day classic to the likes of Scorsese and Tarantino. So
yes,
as much as I want to focus on the new album, I've got to give Adverse some time.
That's fucking that's awesome.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Awesome.
We did sign a deal with a UK distributor, so it will be coming out in theaters. I don't know how many theaters the release date is yet, but you know, I'm not just talking about something that doesn't or that won't exist for you.
Yeah.
I swear it will. Oh, hello, doggy. Oh,
wow. Nobody's expecting that giant cloud to come in the room.
Wow.
What is that?
A dog has just entered the room.
Nothing to say?
No, nothing to say? Get
what's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
Okay, hello.
Look at the size of that.
Is that a Welsh husky?
He's got tiny legs.
He does. Well, there you go.
Oh, no, he's just he's got, out there. Perhaps this is his room. Perhaps I'll swear the camera's. This is his room within a dog's room.
He goes, I saw you on the camera. So I came in here to say hello.
Wow. That's a first. That's a first ever.
Definitely the first time we've been...
we've been interrupted by family members, other members of bands.
Managers.
Things like that. Managers,
texts,
yeah, whatever.
Stuff like that. Never
a dog. Never an animal.
Fucking ain't right, doggy.
Yep. Fucking right, doggy.
To the film.
Oh, no, yeah, we're talking about the film.
Yeah, the film, awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, the critics said that it was... Mickey Rourke's best performance since The Wrestler.
Oh, wow.
That's
so, you know, to be the... I'm not just the main protagonist in the film. I'm also one of the producers. So,
nice. Listen, a lot of work.
I'd love for him to get that recognition because I'll be able to be like, yeah, I made that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. You got that because of me, Mickey. Don't wipe it into a 1930s gangster, but it's a good look.
I like it.
If I was a producer, I think I'd go for the 1930s gangster. A voice constantly.
What, this all the time?
Nah, what are you looking for, see?
We got actually a fellow Welshman in the movie, Matt Ryan, who's from Swansea. You might know him as John Constantine in the DC universe.
Oh, I know the one. Yes.
Yeah, so he plays Mickey Rourke's like main henchman in the movie, and he's great. So, and a good, and become, you know, a good friend. We've done a lot of Comic-Con events together and
he doesn't
maybe
have
one or two drinks together.
He doesn't have the Welsh accent though, does he, in the film?
He does.
Does he?
Yeah, we didn't ask him to do American. We said, stay Welsh.
Wow. Because Welsh people in films, like Irish people, are normally just played for comic effect. So if you've got a Welsh accent, because you sound like an idiot,
there's no comic effect on it, and his performance is so rock solid, and he got some really high notes from the critics.
Good.
And yeah, like we basically were like, well, look, you can do an American accent, and we know you're good at it.
Yeah.
But we just want you to focus more on the character, and we don't mind because the world is more of a melting pot now anyway.
Oh, yeah,
where
definitely.
It's not like
the Welsh have got out. We have got out.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, I get it. I know what you're saying. We shouldn't be allowed to leave, right? But we have.
I believe in diversity, like letting Matt Ryan have his Welsh accent in my movie. It was more the director's choice than mine, so, anyway. So
good.
I didn't really bother me either way.
No, but with that, like Tom, obviously in previous interviews and stuff, one thing we've always talked about is how proud you are of both your acting work and music, and that you've always combined that in everything you do. You know, there's no, with some people they can be very like, oh, this is just about my musical, this is just about acting or something like that. But you're very open into both sides of that constantly. Is that just something you always want to portray?
I mean, I would probably be more successful if I was lying about what I wanted to do. I've seen some other folks that have done that well, but I just am. You know, I'm already a professional liar for 34 years now or something like that. 34 this year. I'm going to be 40 this year. I started acting when I was 6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm already a professional liar. I try not to lie in my own life. And even if it's for the sake of a PR campaign, I don't know. There's just something about it that, you know, I just am... too honest for my own good, maybe to my own detriment, but at the end of the day, it's not about what you achieve, it's about the journey and enjoying the journey. And not lying in my life is a much better way to enjoy the journey. So I always plan on doing all these things, so I'm not going to pretend like that's not true.
How did you, like you said, you got into it when you were 6. How did that come about?
Well, it's basically the first experience that I had on a set was what I love. So I never looked at it like, oh, I want to be in the movies. Because what I love about being in the movies is being on set.
Yeah.
I never wanted the recognition for that or the accolades for that. I just love the process, kind of like making a record.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing like the creative, like recording, fine tuning, that experience, that part of it is the best. Touring's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's about 20% amazing and 80% suck.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, but like being on a set, you're really tired, but it's I don't know. There's, I love all of it.
Yeah.
And so my first experience being on a set when I was about six, it was my mom's. Well, my mom was working on a low budget film. She was casting the atmosphere. They asked for like a altar boy for a scene with Jan Michael Vincent, where like they come and like break open a corpse and all this cocaine falls out of the corpse and Jan Michael Vincent's the cops and the priest averts my eyes. I don't know. That's all I remember about the scene. But I just loved being on set and nice. Being like the respectful kid that wasn't getting yelled at to be quiet.
Yeah.
I knew when, you know, you had to be quiet for the scene. And I don't know, just something about being surrounded by adults at that age for a different reason, not just authoritarians like your teachers or whomever,
like, but you're like almost part of the group.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like when you're that age, you feel more entitled than that which you're entitled to.
Yeah.
But the on-set environment, because you're with technicians and artists, as long as you're not messing up their job, they show you mutual respect.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's just something about like the energy that's there, and that's what I've always loved. So that's awesome. How I got my start.
Nice. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. You're working in both the music industry and, you know, the film business. Is there any, how different are the two? Is there any crossover and stuff like that where you feel like there's a lot similar, or is it just a completely different world?
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's some, I'm sure there's some similarities or some differences. Like I've never necessarily compared the two. I've always just kind of like done films or TV things throughout the year. And during the downtime to stay sane or less insane, I would fill the time with music, and then that just kind of developed into recording and touring, and now I just kind of balance the both, you know. And I'm a little like trying to figure out my year, because I'm getting offers now for touring way farther in advance than I ever have.
Yeah,
it seems like things are kind of pushed out farther than normal.
Yeah.
And but then at the same time, I'm also, I've done like one film that I've produced every 2 years, but this year I might be poised to produce two films in 1 year, and I'm trying to figure out how to balance it. And I don't know. So I'm saying yes to a lot of gigs that I hope I don't have to be the jerk that cancels them, but obviously I will. But I'm trying to I don't know, balance all this crazy stuff, plus like my daughter's about to turn 4, my son's 8, and I heard the other day that my daughter was like running around the house asking for me, which is just heartbreaking.
Yeah,
meanwhile, my son will like wake up at 6 a.m. and then just call my cell phone. Hey, Dad, I found this this foreign coin. Can I put it in? Can I have it? It's it looks like it's from, it says pesos. What's a pesos? It's a peso. It's a peso, son. And yes, you can have it. What is 500 pesos? Is that worth a lot? No, it's not worth anything. What do you mean? It's worth like 5 cents. Oh, well, can I still have it? Yeah. All right. Bye, Dad. Love you.
Nice. Nice.
Like no idea that like I'm on the other side of the world. I mean, I can tell different him. Time. I can show him. But do you really understand that?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, have you had a chance to take them outside of America yet, or?
No, not yet. I've only, my wife is from Chicago originally, and so we've done some trips to Chicago. That's about the farthest, like, traveling that they've done. My son's got a food allergy, so it's a little tricky with traveling. Because it just is so much work and research to like make sure you find, you know,
safe
food places, and a lot of places don't know. And I don't know, are allergies a big thing here as they are in
the
States? I think it's,
there's a lot of like peanut allergies.
It's getting more than ever now, I think. Yeah,
gluten. Gluten's a big one over here.
Speaking of a peanut allergy.
Ooh. You've got one. Yes.
No, I don't. I don't have one. This is my friend's company. It's called Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Nice.
It's not available in the UK yet, so this is means that you're on like the first tip.
Well,
I'm sure one's going to very much enjoy
it. We'll do a live review.
Yeah, a live review.
Also, I got to drive home, so this will be a laugh.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's only like a shot and a half in there.
You can peanut butter flavor.
Peanut butter whiskey. It's infused in the 70 proof whiskey.
To the Misfits, Black Sheep, and the Screwballs. Here we go.
Oh god. He's just down
the entire airplane bottle worth 50 mil. It's about a shot and a half.
Oh, it's lovely.
Right?
And it's lovely.
Isn't that awesome?
Where is it from?
So it's my friend's company. He is a Cambodian immigrant, but he moved over to Ocean Beach near San Diego with his family. His family got sponsored after he survived polio at the age of 2.
Oh, wow.
Because Cambodia is a war-torn country. Yeah, they don't have vaccines there. And
tried hard then. I was going to make a joke about riding horses and hitting balls. A polo joke, but I couldn't. Sorry, carry on. It's the whiskey. It's instant. it's good, though. It's very nice.
Yeah. So he loved peanut butter when he came over, infused it in everything at a restaurant that he opened. Peanut butter fried rice, peanut butter short ribs, peanut butter and sake shots. Subbed the sake for JMO. Invented the first peanut butter whiskey shot.
Damn.
Sold 300,000 shots a year. JMO threatened to sue them.
Aye.
His wife had a minor in chemistry. She took 5 years to figure out how to infuse peanut butter into the whiskey. And they launched it as a boutique company in Ocean Beach. Last year in August, they went nationwide. It went to all 50 states in 6 months, sold 300,000 cases, and is now the fastest growing whiskey in the U.S.
Damn.
It will be here in 2020.
It's lovely.
Screw and I'm going to make sure that every venue that I play has it first.
That's true. Yeah. SKREW Ball. Screwball. Fantastic.
And just know Screwball with the black sheep on the label is the original.
Yeah.
There's about 15 copycats now.
Ooh.
So if you see any of them, just know they're crap and go back to the OG.
And we're Welsh as well, so we are automatically attracted to sheep. That's great marketing on his behalf anyway. So it's almost as if he knew you were coming here today and he was like, oh, give them the two plonk, as you might need.
No, the Screwball is actually a name that the free thinking Cambodians are given, the ones that don't toe the line or follow the rules that the quote unquote people in charge try to make sure they take out.
Nice.
Well, so they are the black sheep of Cambodia, and that's where that comes from.
Lovely.
I'm in. Sold to me, Screwball.
I mean, all your sheep here are not black sheep.
No.
Right.
So
that wasn't a Welsh plug.
No, sadly not.
Not.
But if Screwball do want to sponsor the podcast, I will drink this before every podcast from now on and start doing I'm hammered. That'll be fantastic. Oh, anyway,
you'd be like,
talk to me about, I don't care what it's going to be like. But
so you basically, you're offering to get screwed before every podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
And after. Yeah.
I don't know where this is going.
I know you don't drink, so
I'm not having it, no.
Good.
Do you want mine?
I love
it. I was going to give it to you anyway. Yeah. Do you want it right now?
No, we can talk about this after. Let's talk about
it. Please have a smell of it. Yeah, you might not drink, okay, but you will be surprised at the smell of peanut butter.
It is very, very nice.
Okay.
Ooh, it's strong. Like, when's
it's
the last
strong.
Yeah, it's strong. 70 proof whiskey.
Wow.
Morgan will be drunk after smelling, I know. Telling me how he feels about me on the pod. I fucking hate doing this podcast with you.
Oh, thanks. Anyway, moving on from that, I don't know.
Sean, quit licking the bottle.
Stop, sorry.
It's because there's a sheep on the cover.
It is naturally, I am naturally thinking about going for it all the time. Yeah. But anyway. You ruined him. This happens all the time.
You embarrass Morgan all the time.
All of the time.
I believe it.
Yeah,
you're easily embarrassed, aren't you?
A little bit.
And I've got a filter, so
I'm trying to be the responsible
one.
So
tell me how you feel about sheep.
Well, the thing is with sheep, I mean, we don't see enough of them, I don't feel. I'm from Cardiff, right?
Oh, you are from Cardiff.
So, there's not enough sheep in actual Cardiff. When I get the train and come up here, see a little
fucking
bit more.
Sick of them. Look at them everywhere. Confident. Shitheads.
I can't take one back on the train because then I'd have to pay for a ticket for it as well.
That's true.
And
that's like buying a dinner first, really.
Yeah,
can you get service sheep? Like service dogs? Like, could you take a sheep on the train and be like, oh, I need this to calm me down?
As long as you have paperwork from your doctor.
Yes.
You just
how have we got to this?
You just need a prescription, essentially. Yeah.
Excuse me, my doctor said I can bring this sheep down here. I got a prescription for two sheep, please.
I'm getting a great idea for like a short film right
yes!
now.
Yes, let's do it.
I'm just like someone traveling around Wales on trains with their service sheep.
Sheep, yeah. I'm noticing other sheep when they're like, oh, there's another one. Take that down. There you go. I can't believe we've got the sheep.
I can't believe this either. But going back to what you mentioned, you brought up doing a lot of the Comic Cons and stuff. That's been a big part of your life, really, over the years and stuff, and doing a lot of them.
I've done 70 Comic Cons since 2017. So only in the last 3 years. That's probably why I didn't have time to tour the UK.
Yeah,
too busy doing Comic Cons. But
what's here's, wait, here's 7-0.
7-0.
In 3 years.
Yeah. So my very, very first Comic Con though that I ever attended was Wales Comic Con in Wrexham.
Oh, that's Wrexham. It doesn't count as Wales. That's not that's England.
Oh,
that is.
Wow.
It's far enough.
I thought you'd prior to that. I was on my way to Wrexham, and my first stop was Cardiff. I played at the Glen.
Yeah, Wales. Yeah, yeah, Wrexham up here.
Yeah, I thought you'd be excited that my first Comic Con was in Wales.
I was, and then he said Wrexham, and he spoiled it all. that's Northern England to me. Anyway, past Brecon, and that's Cheshire.
Well, so you don't even count Aberystwyth?
It's a bit far over there.
I count that.
What about Holyhead?
No, that's gone. That's off. That's off Wales again. Isn't Ireland off? That's Anglesey.
You catch the ferry there.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's still part of mainland.
Yeah, it's not.
Great Britain.
I don't count it.
Anyway.
You didn't even know that I would pronounce so many cities in Wales anyway.
My favourite American pronunciation of a Welsh town is, there's a place called Ystrydmannach, right? Spelt Y-S-T.
What?
Yeah. Y-S-T-R-A-D. That's the first word. Ystryd. And the second one is Mannach, which is M-Y-N-A-C-H, right? Ystrydmannach. I saw an American band playing in Ystrydmannach once who said, hey guys, it's really good to be in Ystrydmannach. And I was like, he means Ystrydmannach, but he said it wrong. Ystrydmannach, which makes complete sense looking at it from an American's point of view.
Well, no. Pronouncing a word like that, look like that, you would go not why.
I don't know.
You don't just say why. Show me another English word that starts with a Y that doesn't have a sound.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have at least said Ystrad.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, not Ystrad. It didn't start with a fucking W.
That is true.
It is a weird language, though. It's a very strange language.
I can't remember who it was now, so I could slag him off. But with
the Comic Cons, how is like the experience of that? Because I'm sure like interacting with fans and talking about like all the films you've done as well must just be a great experience.
Yeah, it is great. It's an opportunity to meet. I mean, look, it's really an opportunity to meet people that enjoy my work. Mm. So I really feel like I should be paying Comic-Con for having me there, because then people are just like, you're amazing. Because if they don't think I'm amazing, they just don't come and visit me. So
that is true.
I'm not saying that every person at every Comic-Con loves me. I'm just simply saying that
people come see me.
If they don't love me, they walk by. Yeah. They don't take the time to tell me they hate me. So the only people that come to me are the ones that love me.
Yeah,
And that's for as hard as life is, that's a pretty good position to be in, to meet people that enjoy your work. And then for me to get the opportunity to say thank you.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't get to do what I do without them. And then I've also been using them as anchor dates for tours.
Nice.
That's why this tour is happening.
Yeah. Very smart.
The Liverpool Comic Con.
Nice.
And then obviously I was planning on maybe getting like one or two shows beforehand.
Mm.
But then when Adverse got into Francis Porto in Portugal, and it was the weekend before, I thought, well, I could go home and be useless and jet lagged and not help with the kids at all. and then fly back overseas and then be useless, like just basically useless.
Stay out here and be
or just stay out here.
Useful.
Useful, at least to my music career. But I do, I mean, it's this is the longest tour I've taken in a minute, say in 4 years.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Usually, about 10, 12 days was about then. Mm. But since 2016, I've only been gone for, maybe 5 days max.
Yeah. But with the Comic Cons as well, has there ever been a very weird, have you had like many weird experiences with fans or something? Or they've gone a bit over the top and brought up random bits of films and like gotten really...
There are definitely... Here's the thing I'll say about Comic Con. It's a very non-judgmental place.
Hmm.
So there are some, not all, but there are some attendees that are definitely on the spectrum. But the thing I love about Comic Con is there's nothing but love and non-judgment for them.
Yeah.
And therefore, they feel very, very confident and comfortable going there. And for that, I will stand and talk to them all day. In fact, I'm still like online chatting with a few folks. And look, there's in reality, they call anyone that's on the spectrum special needs, but they really are special needs because they make you feel special. They're just nothing but love.
Yeah.
Like, and I know it's something challenging for all of us, being that we abide by the social standards, but they don't.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand. They're above it. They're essentially like, they're beyond their years, really, if you really think about it. And so anytime that I have the opportunity that I'm kind of like tied into their brain, I'm kind of like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because they're next level. Mm. And they actually like me.
Yeah.
And then it makes me feel special. Yeah. So
No, that's wonderful cool. to that's hear. Awesome. Like you have that kind of connection with people and stuff with them. And
yeah, I've done a lot of work with. I think the first time that I really experienced that, I worked with this company called Best Buddies back in like 1998 for a few years, and they did they do job placements. Well, prior to doing job placements, they were stationed at like 400 high schools and like 400 colleges. And they do pair up one-to-one friendships. It's kind of like not Big Brother with the camera, but like
Big Brother, like mentoring.
Big Brother, Big Brother, Big Sister.
Yeah,
it's like that because they notated that they were getting social, what's the word, like being shunned socially, and that it was a game changer for them if they were accepted just by one person, and it would change their whole, sort of path. And then be able to then work in. So they do this like one-to-one friendship thing. Yeah. And then it works into job placement. And then they're kind of like prepped for that. Because any one of us ever wants, special needs or not, is just to be loved.
Yep.
So imagine if like you didn't even have the chance to make a friend. Because everyone was just like, oh, look, it's that guy.
Yeah.
So like it just would change their whole MO. And that was an awesome company that I worked with for a while. Nice. So I think I had my first, and I was like only 18. So it was like, it kind of opened my mind up to like understanding just by being around all these amazing people that I started to realize like I had it all wrong.
Yeah.
And I learned that a long time ago, for sure.
Oh, fantastic. And going back to the new music as well, obviously in the past you've always had like kind of a pledge or a Kickstarter campaign where fans can really interact and help you make the music, but you've actually gone to Patreon for this new one as well.
Because Pledge Music, which was founded here in the UK by Benji, I want to say it was JC or Jace or something. I mainly knew Benji. They've shut down.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of, issues with them. And so I didn't want to go back to Kickstarter because they don't allow you. I don't know. It's not the same interaction. Yeah. Amazon's big enough. They're owned by Amazon. Amazon bought Pledge, which is, I think, why they caused all those problems.
That's crazy.
Because, anyway. So Patreon seemed
how
cool.
How many things did you do with Pledge? Was it just one?
I did...
We did two,
I think.
Well, I did my two albums. So, for Security and for Frat Party. But I also helped Matt with his project on Pledge.
Yeah.
and I helped my wife with her two projects on Pledge. So I was kind of like the ambassador for for like five projects.
Yeah.
My friend that used to work at Sony, I'm trying to think of the subdivision of Sony's record label. So this guy named Scott Graves, he was the one that introduced me over there, and he kind of showed me the ropes, and then I just really loved their back end.
Yeah.
Mainly because Kickstarter is kind of like, you have to put your monetary amount, and then if you fail, you can't delete the page.
Yeah.
And Pledge was like, we're going to make it a percentage amount because the amount of money you need is irrelevant to the project. So then it can just be like, we can all be in on this together. And then if you needed to, you could lower your goal and like dump some things that you were doing and change it on the back end to meet your goal. And if you failed, they would actually delete your page.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't look like a failure for all of eternity.
Yeah,
thank you, Kickstarter.
Yeah. I made 1% shit.
Right. Yeah. Imagine that. Like, imagine you fail at a project and then it's online forever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, remember when you tried this?
I didn't think about that.
You motherfuckers.
That would just be like insult to injury.
Yeah.
But with the Patreon, people can get involved and really help you create these new singles now.
Yeah, we're doing it. I mean, on Pledge, we used to have about like anywhere from 100 to 200 people. Right now, we've got about 45 people that have made the first two songs happen. If it stays around the 45, we'll probably be able to do 4 or 5 singles this year. If it grows, then we'll do more. So it really just depends on, like, it's pretty much up to the people that want to, you know, pitch in $1 or $5 or $10, and that's it.
Where can people find you, Patreon? What is the
Just Patreon and then /tinband.
Ah, cool.
Or patreon.com/tinband.
Nice.
Tinband is my handle on all the socials. Yeah. TIN band. So it's pretty easy to find. I think I've still got it on like the bio link of my Instagram.
Yeah. Well, we've got a Patreon as well, so we link.
Oh,
we link through to that as well. So that'll be
How's that working out for you guys?
Yeah, good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really well at the moment.
Being able to create like a mad community we never thought we'd be able to and stuff like that.
The craziest thing we found about it. Like, we thought, oh, perhaps if we can do this to, like, maybe, I don't know, recoup some travel money or whatever, just that would be cool. And then we've made this group that only Patreon members can get into, and it's the nicest. We've literally made a community of like 160 people who support each other, love each other.
Yeah,
there's people with like mental health issues or whatever who are all looking after each other. There's bands who are going to each other's gigs and supporting each other. They come into our gigs.
But literally, they just mental. Become best friends. They're traveling all around with each other. People have met up in festivals. Different countries all around. It's
that's amazing.
Absolutely mind blowing. So it's
So like, we had one girl we went to. Went to see a band called Yumiya 6 play in Gunnersbury Park, and there's a girl from the Patreon who come on to us, and she was with 10 other people from the Patreon, and she was like, oh, I was going to come to this gig on my own, and like I have for years, and I want to thank you because now I've got like 10 best friends.
Yeah. And then I almost started crying.
You have to be solid. Shut up, man.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's funny. I was talking about Matt Ryan earlier, and then there was this fan of his that I don't know how she found me, but she found my Patreon page. She supported it, came to our gig in Ocean Beach, and then it turns out she's a cartoonist. And I have a kids project that I had on the back burner for years called The Robot Kid. And I was like, hey, I saw your cartoon page. Do you want to like take a look at? And so she's designed already. I haven't shown anyone yet.
Ooh.
The Robot Kid.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And her handle online is Cartoon Junkie.
Right.
And so now she's putting together an animation as sort of a test run. And then I don't know. Can I run 2 Patreon simultaneously?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's what I'm planning on doing to kind of fund that project, which I think will probably get more love than even my band, because kids material is so necessary.
I
know this as a parent, and my wife's always joking, you know, when you finally launch The Robot Kid that I've been sitting on the back burner for 10 years, it'll probably be the most successful thing you've done in your life. Well, because it's
that's quite nice. That's nice, supportive, I guess.
That's pretty much a backhanded compliment in the best way possible. Well, mainly the kids robot or robot kid, sorry, is I wrote kids songs that kids will love that won't annoy parents.
Nice.
That's pretty much.
That's, yeah. How would you wait?
Well, because basically, when your format. Kids find something they like, they will listen to it incessantly over and over again to the annoyance or the chagrin of the parents.
Yeah. Especially if it's something like Baby Shark or Frozen.
So I basically have written songs that. If I played them for you, you'd be like, oh, this is cool. And if your kids listen to them like 100 times, like, you won't get annoyed with it because it's not one of those aforementioned songs.
Yeah. Good. Cool. Nice.
Yeah. So, before you go, one film I did want to bring up, though, probably one of my favorite things I've seen you in is What Before Mickey.
Oh, right on.
Watched that with a close friend a few times. Brilliant thing. How did all that really come together? Because it was just a really great backstory on, you know, the creator of all these magic films and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that happened with that is, I guess they had a false start on the production, and then they reached out to me through my agent and asked if I wanted to play Walt Disney. Of course, I said that would be amazing.
I'm good.
I read the script and I was like, yeah, I would love to do this. I said, well, you know, when does it shoot? They said, next week. You're on a plane in 4 days.
Oh, wow.
And I rose to the challenge of preparing a role of a lifetime in 4 days.
Congratulations. Fair play.
Yeah. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it's a really good film. I urge everyone to check out as well.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it on Netflix here?
I think it is, yeah.
Because I know some people were looking for some of my other films in the UK, and some of them are available and some of them are not, depending on what distribution deals were secured.
That's true. Well, yeah, cool.
Yeah. As well, I'll go just quickly again, going back to the love that you share for your music and acting and bringing that together. I really thought super clever when you covered Stacey's Mom and turned it to Stifler's Mom. Bang on.
Thank you.
Very clever. Very clever thing to do.
I think it actually started because I was doing the propaganda guest DJ spots. And I saw some of the other DJs play Stacey's Mom and the crowd go nuts.
Yep. It's such a hit.
That song was such like, you know, a huge hit here. And with all ages, like, you know, there's like whatever the age, the kids are young. Like, hey, you weren't even alive when the song was released and you love the song. And then I think we were on the first Freshers tour and Johnny Lucas was playing bass on that one. And I don't remember what happened, but I was like, we need to add like some more bangers at the end. And we were like, well, I was like, let's try to figure out Stacey's Mom. We were like in Warrington, worry, 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 strong in the arm, thick in the head. So Johnny taught me how to play it. And then we were joking around. I was like, oh man, what if we like subbed out Stifler's Mom for Stacey's Mom?
Nice.
Because we're on this frat party tour.
Yeah.
And we tried it out. We had a double university show. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the two shows, but I know we like set up at 1 at 7, played from, you know, 8:30 to 10, grabbed all the gear,
legged it,
put it in the car, drove to the next gig, set up, and played another show same night. And we did it at both shows, and it slayed both nights. Nice. And I was like, this has to go on a record.
Stays forever.
Nice. I remember I messaged the guy, one of the writers on Instagram to say, hey, I'm going to do a compulsory license of this song. I hope it's okay that I'm changing the lyric. He never responded, so I'm assuming he's okay with it.
Yeah, he must be fine with it.
No answer is a yes.
Yeah, it's just
if you don't say no, that's a yes. And that doesn't work for all things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just songs.
Just songs.
And that's it.
Song lyrics ends there. Sorry, I just want to clarify.
Just to be clear, that is the opinion of Thomas Nicholas. Yes, not something in podcast. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Don't know where to go now.
Oh, I
know
we'll reverse that to the opinion of sheep. Thank you.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, he's got me with the sheep again.
And is there anything else on the horizon we should be keeping
Up for? Oh, yeah, you said you've got two films you might be producing.
Yeah, there's not
Can
much
you say anything about them?
Well, one of them is another crime drama. Now that my business partner has been compared to the likes of Scorsese and Tarantino, we really want to kind of stay in the crime drama area,
nice.
I think, for a minute. And this next film is pretty amazing. It's a crime drama with like kind of a new twist. We know whose son I'm going to play, or who's going to be my dad.
Nice.
In the film, but I can't really say yet.
You look so excited by it as well.
And then
it's Morgan. Morgan's playing your dad.
But we also
don't announce it on here, but I mean, come on, yeah.
We also have a sci-fi flick, sort of a post-apocalyptic one on the horizon as well.
Cool.
So when you hear about both of those and sort of like whichever one comes to fruition first, that's the one we shoot first.
Yeah.
Cool. But it's to be determined at this point.
Nice.
Well, yeah, cool. We're looking forward to hearing more info on that when you can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then tonight at the show, I'm going to play my unreleased second single of the new album. So I've got three songs of the new album, maybe four.
Ooh.
So that's all that I've done so far. But it's a very Welsh connection and a Merthyr connection, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mentioned earlier.
I did, yeah. So I mentioned earlier that Laura Thomas, who's a photographer here in town, has shot all of the shows in Merthyr. She had me write a song for her sister's birthday, and that song is kind of like risen back up. We've revamped it, and it's going to be the second single. I don't even think she knows yet. She's on the Patreon, and I haven't even told the Patreon members yet because I've been so busy with like the film and the tour and everything. I haven't had a chance to go announce it. I got Laura to shoot the album cover today.
Nice.
I don't even think I'm going to tell them during the show. I'm going to save it for Patreon.
Yes.
But I'll tell you guys.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you very much for doing
this. Absolute pleasure to see you as always. Thanks,
Sean, Richard. Morgan. Pleasure. Thank you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. You're
listening to Sappy Podcast.
Lovely.
Thomas, Ian, Nicholas, episode 73 of Sapling Podcast. I absolutely love that man.
Me too. That was my first time meeting him. And what a lovely, lovely, lovely chap. Again, I mentioned it before, surreal to see him in Merthyr Tydfil and know that he's been there loads before. Like my friend Big Kev, I went to school with a guy called Big Kev, right? Non-ironically called Big Kev, he's six foot six.
Yeah,
when he came in, I went, oh, it is, look, Big Kev. And he was like, oh yeah, he's been here a bunch of times, yeah. And like Thomas just walked up, I was like, oh, all right, Big Kev. And I was like, what the f***? This is a boy I went to school with, knows Thomas, what? And yeah, it's just what a surreal day, but he was absolutely lovely. It was good to hear about all the movie involvement he's got coming up and he's been up to. And we really enjoyed the show. Even though he made the band he was playing with the night before in Swansea.
Yeah, so like on this tour, the tour he did was supposed to be just like an acoustic tour while he was over here promoting stuff for the film. But he ended up, you know, as you mentioned, he's got a huge connection here in Wales. And the night before in Swansea, played a gig with a band he literally made last minute and then brought him out for a second set in Merthyr. So wild stuff.
Yes. Absolutely lovely times, and all of his band members were lovely. They were all from Swansea, but yeah, it was nice to see them. And again, thanks to the new Cronin for having us.
Yes, we very much appreciate it. And again, it was great to catch up with Tom and everything. And make sure now to check out his new single, I Want, is available on all streaming platforms. And if you want to help him make more music and the full album for this new material, then head over to his Patreon, patreon.com/tinband. That's TINBAND. And of course, keep updated with everything on the social media for the news on the new film Advice, starring Tom and Mickey Rourke.
Yes, great.
Lovely.
What a great time we
lovely,
had.
Lovely. Yes. And obviously, speaking of our Patreon, please, 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 please go and check out ours at patreon.com/satmin.
Yeah. If you could spare the price of a cup of coffee, all money goes back into trying to make these podcasts bigger and better and getting these done. So we appreciate all the support. If you can't afford it, that's absolutely fine. Please don't feel any pressure. I know we talk about this a lot, but it all does go to helping the podcast. And we appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Yeah, not to use supermarket catchphrases, but every little helps. So it would be very much appreciated. But
go and check out our social media pages at Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well. Get involved with us. Any questions or anything, let us know. If you've got any suggestions for guests you'd like to see on the podcast now while we're all locked in quarantine, let us know. Tag us, tag them. Maybe we can make something happen.
Yes, please do. Also, remind these people that you want to come on that they're in quarantine. Therefore, they should be able to do it, hopefully.
Yeah,
because that's what we need. We need more of a push of them.
We all know you want Post Malone on. We'd happily have Post Malone on, but just nag Post Malone as well, yeah?
It's for the best.
And speaking of things that are for the best, if you head over to the description of this episode, there's loads of names in there that we've got to thank. We love each and every one of them, but we've got to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sappening Podcast community. Those are the top tiers, and they are the names Sean are about to tell you.
Oh, is he now? No, you do it. No, I'll do it.
Okay, because you've got the list in front of you, and I haven't, so that would be awkward.
Do you know what? Off the top of your head, name the list.
Special thank you to Kylie Weehan.
Oh, and she's not top answer. Wait, here we go. Right, I'll do it, because you'll only forget somebody, and then there'll be a whole world of pain in a Patreon group. Again, patreon.com/happening.
Plus, they've all changed their names to wacky names, as you're about to hear now, and I wouldn't have got those right, so you're better off reading it, because your mind is about to be blown.
Thank you very much to Mayumi Liwewei, Kylie Doc Antle as a whole sexer, while I can't even get a hug wheeler. Mitch Perry, Amy Wake Me Up When Corona Ends Chilvers. It's all about the he said, she said, Mo Dick. Emma Barber, Shani had those apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. I love that she's put with the fur in the brackets. That'll get me every time. Dana Lasnova, Amadine Urbano, Janelle, I've been in lockdown more days than I've been sober, Castan. Drew, diddy diddy dum diddy do Styles. Jesus Christ. Sam Spray, Dilly Banana Bread, Sauce Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, is Kelly Young. Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Kate Puttock, Simon Amos, Jenny, I'll shoot you before I shoot my cat monster, Kate Stevenson, Amy, don't feed me till the Tigers champion, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Caden Deadoodston, Martina McManus, Erin Howard, John and Emma, James Oakley, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, it was her birthday the other day, thank you very much, happy birthday Marcy, Tinky Winky, Sarah Stewart, Jordan Burchard, Mike Cunningham, Jamie O'Jamie, Paddy the Magnificent, Finn Goomias, Kelly Emma Cannon, Livy Cropper, Paul Hirschfield, aka Becky's Human Sacrifice.
Wow.
James McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Chester Nosedeway, Amy Dormer, Scott, I'm Deader Inside, and Carol Baskin's First Husband. Jesus Christ. Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Tony Michael, Jenny Robinson, Jamie Bluer, Sarah, some people say that I'm the prototype of Scarface James. I don't know what that's about.
No idea.
Craig Harris, L. Douglas, guess who's back? Back again. Becky's back. Tell a friend. Yes. Thank you very much to Becky Mayorka for coming back to the Patreon. Thank you very much, guys. You guys are absolute superstars, as is everybody else who is part of the fantastic community we've somehow made over at patreon.com/sapnin.
Yes, we love you all very, 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 very much. Please look after yourselves. And we're having mad Zoom parties in the future, apparently. I've seen everyone getting excited about one that's pre-Halloween in the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's because it's halfway to Halloween party, May the 19th, I believe, we might be on Zoom.
So that's not an amazing excuse for you to join patreon.com/sapnin, I don't know what is.
Yes, I will not be wearing an outfit as I do on October the 31st. I'll be clothed, you maniac.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, I don't want that much of an influx to the Patreon. I just need a new microphone for the iPad. That's all I need, really. I don't want to become trillionaires overnight, so I will be clothed, but I will not be making an effort at dressing up as somebody other than myself.
Okay, that's fair. I was just a bit worried then. I didn't know what was going on. But, Sean, we need a word of the week. So these lovely listeners, if they've got this far, can let us know and tag it in all the social media platforms.
I tell you what, this is what we start doing from now on. Because I hate this moment, right, you, and I have to pick a word of the week.
I've got one in mind.
All right, cool. But also, from now on, from moving forward, let's ask the Patreon group on a Thursday what they want their word of the week to be.
That's a good idea. I quite like that.
Thank you. But that was all me, baby.
Can I pick this week's?
Yes, you can. For God's sake, have a go.
Right. So we mentioned in the interview about Tom's cover of Stacey's mum that turns into Stifler's mum. So yeah. For this, I want everyone, hashtag Sean's mum.
Oh, you motherfucker. You motherfucker. She'll see that, mind. She'll see that when I'm retweeting people.
But we love Jan. Everyone loves Jan.
Yeah, but this is going to make her... It don't matter. Yeah, all right then. also, we should mention we recorded this before the passing of the singer of Stacey's mom as well. So, which was a little bit of sad news we had last week. There you go. I've just, for some reason, I've gone super morbid and ruined the podcast.
Aww.
Yes. Hashtag Sean's mom. Mom? Yeah, it's got to be mom, hasn't it?
Yeah, mom.
What about Shawnee's mom?
Shawnee's mom. Okay, Shawnee's mom.
There you go. Thank God for that.
Got there in the end. Anything else you want to mention now before we reach the end of the podcast?
No. Have a great week, everybody. I hope you're all safe and well. Please try and stay in when possible. This social distancing thing seems to be kind of working.
And let's just think of how amazing everything is going to be when all this is over and we get to go to festivals and we get to go to gigs and we get to have a lovely time seeing each other and eating ice cream.
Yes, I cannot wait for that. Yes.
Especially,
thank you very much.
Especially gigs involving @RaidersBandUK on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
Nice plug there, Morg. Thank you very much.
Any quick update with new music?
Currently, we've got 4 songs being mixed, and when I hear more, I'll let you know.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because it's kind of I was talking about this to somebody, Patrick Floyd, earlier on Facebook. It's a kind of a weird one, because even if we had those songs and they were finished now it's kind of like, well, do we put one out and kind of waste it and then not play for God knows how long? Or do we keep hold of them? So, that's a question to bring up and see what people think. So, yeah, let me know your thoughts.
Nice.
Cool. Well, that's it then, I suppose, is it?
I think that is it. So, as Sean said, everyone look after each other. We can all get through this. I hope Sapning is helping you with it. It's keeping me saying I know that. And we will see you every Friday. Let us know who you want on future episodes of the podcast. Thanks again to Thomasy and Nicholas for being our guests.
Yes.
Thanks again to the new Crown Wing and Merthyr Tydfil for having us and for Weird Cameras and that dog. And thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you very much. And as always,
Sapning!
You're listening to Sapning Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.